The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
It's not really fair to pick on people. Like, we're all about, you know, mental health and, you know, looking after people and picking people up, which is what Michaela Bowen had to do after she went arse over tit.
I had to pick myself up. There was no teammates coming to help me from that water.
Hello, Bowie.
Hi, Kingy. I've missed you.
I've missed you too. It's been 15 days.
It has. It's too long.
This is our weekly therapy session here. We call it the Cat Attack Podcast, but it is a weekly therapy session. Thanks to Kerr's Hire. So thank you to Jared Kerr and all the team who basically are paying for Bowie's therapy. And after she nearly drowned on the wing at Mars Stadium.
I need a bit of it.
So you didn't know we were there broadcasting?
No, well, I think now that Mum reminded me that on previous podcast episodes, that's how she knew that you guys were there, because we'd spoken about it. I think we spoke about the 3-game run at GMHBA, and then you mentioned on the potty that you were going to be there calling the game at Ballarat. So it wasn't on my mind at the game, but yeah, as soon as Mum told me that, I thought Rocky and Kingy are going to be absolutely cacking it.
All right, so we had the captain on post-game, and we asked her what did she think when she walked in on up to the ground surface and gone, what the hell's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was going through my mind? What a day.
Yep.
Oh, Jackie Parry and I, we ran. Oh, I think, who was out there before us? I don't think anyone. Jackie Parry and I went up to the race. We knew it was going to be rainy. Jackie actually said that week, is there a reason why we're not speaking about the conditions more? Mm. Which, again, oftentimes you speak about the conditions, but it doesn't necessarily imply that the ground is going to end up in a swimming pool / flood. So Jackie and I didn't hold back. We pretty much... It's really interesting when there's usually a puddle on the ground or in an oval or something, you kind of like, you can imagine the walk, like you're up on your tiptoes kind of prancing around trying to avoid getting it fully into your boots. It didn't matter. The whole oval was just at least, I don't even know how many centimetres deep it was in terms of water, but that ball was not bouncing. I know there's been vision of that, of Georgie Rankin trying to bounce the ball on there, Lingy throwing the ball at Rachel. Like, and, you know, for those who watched the game, you'll have seen there was absolutely no movement whatsoever.
I saw you warming up in it.
Mm.
You were like a 7-year-old.
Oh, it was, Jackie, and that's what we said to each other. We were like this, that gets to a point where with conditions, good thing it wasn't rainy, it wasn't super cold, so it almost just felt like you're singing, dancing in the rain kind of day. Yep. Jackie and I just looked at each other and we were like, this is just going to be so much fun. And I know that sounds surface level in senses because we're there playing elite sport at the highest level, but to be honest with you, Kingy, I think that's what gave us a head start against the Doggies was our attitude.
Embrace
the conditions. That was one of the main messages for us going into the game was Dan pretty much said, he's like, it's get dirty. Like, literally, go out there and just put your hands in the water and keep your feet where you can in the contest. But in terms of just warming up to the conditions, like, your boots are about to get absolutely soaked. The ball's going to weigh 10 kilos. Like, just expect that is all to come. And, be the team to embrace that first.
So 2.5 minutes in, you win a free kick just back of the wing on the broadcast side. And
yes, we just listened to the replay of Rocky and Kingy calling that. It was hilarious.
Now, I would like to play it for you, but unfortunately we can't fire it back into the system the way I want to for you to hear how we called it.
You just have to
listen
back.
We didn't really call it. We just laughed.
As did all my teammates, as did I.
What were you thinking is, whoop, hang on.
Oh, I think... And to be fully honest, like, it's probably an awareness piece for me. Becky said to me after the game, because all the girls were all having a massive laugh about it, and Becky was like, oh, she was looking at me being like, surely Bowie's not going to roost it here because she's standing in the thickest puddle of the whole ground. I couldn't have thought anything. You get so just focused on the game ahead of you, and anywhere, any other ground in that scenario, we're in about a meter, I would have launched the ball as much as I did, but clearly with a drier surface underneath me. I had a blast. It was great. That's what I mean. You want me to throw myself into the game? Here you go.
Did you have to drive the green machine to Ballarat?
Yeah.
Did you drive through that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I loved it. It was great.
Really?
Fast and the Furious episode. Like, yeah, I ended up catching Becky Webster on the road, and we were kind of doing a bit of a tandem. Like, I was trying to get out of her slipstream because I was getting all the... I wasn't too close to where I was very safely driving.
Yes.
But, oh, I loved it. But I also was driving thinking it's going to be a massive effort for no one to get in an incident or, you know, get here on time. Like, the conditions were...
And
horrendous.
And those roadworks to the other side of Meredith.
There, are you talking about where the it was really gravelly?
Yeah, forward back to 40 and all that.
Yeah, it was shocking.
But So here's an interesting thing. Well, I think it's interesting.
It will be.
Others may not. You've actually got to expend some mental energy to drive there.
Mm.
The Bulldogs came on a bus.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. A couple of years ago when we played the Doggies at Ballarat, we organised a bus, but I don't know if that's specific to our group individually. Yep. We all just prefer, like, I probably would prefer to drive still. I'd prefer to be able to control when I get to the game, how long I am there before, what music I've got on, like, even like I've got a spare seat in the grain machine, obviously, but like I would rather, if unless someone really needs a lift, I'd rather just drive on my own.
Yep.
I almost found it was nice. It's nice to have, like, ideally that the drive isn't that long, but I think if you can embrace it and be like, this is an hour and 30 minutes worth of prep that I can just enjoy my music, enjoy the drive, and like I've said to you before, I love driving, so it was like a everything I can do to enjoy myself and get myself in a good headspace before the game. I don't think the bus is a bad idea. It's just specific to our group. I saw the Doggies on a bus. Looked like a really nice bus too.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, yeah. Like a limo bus.
Yeah, it was parked sort of where we were.
Yep.
Where we had to park to, you know, and then we got there and had to negotiate the walk.
The parking?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Where did you have to park?
We parked on the background.
Yeah, yeah. We were sent there. I don't think I parked there, but that's where we were supposed to go.
Absolutely.
It poured down. Did you drive with Rocky?
I brought Rocky, Birchie, and Pothole.
All the way. How's those for nicknames?
All the way up.
Yeah.
I said, look, I'll drive.
Yeah.
Because we usually don't do away games.
Mm-hmm.
We only usually do GMHBA stadium games.
Yeah, well,
that's
why it kind of took me by surprise, too.
But I said at the start of the year, K-Rock, even men's footy, well, I don't think we've ever called a game Ballarat.
Wow.
So I've never been to Maher Stadium, so do you know what?
Wow.
Yep. Let's go.
I beat you to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've played there before.
It's the actual turf in general, though. Like, there's been a lot of conversation around the upkeep and the renos that have happened in terms of the turf. Like, the ground in itself was in immaculate condition. Yep. It was just like, in terms of the drainage and the anti-flooding, that was I'm sure there were some lessons learnt from that, because it was the worst I've ever played in.
Is the ground on a lane?
It felt, yeah. So
from the outer side,
commentary wing was like really thick, and then the outside, really thick water, that is, and the outside wing was a little bit less, but like deceivingly so, though. When you ran over there, it was still like the ball wouldn't have bounced very far.
So how many jumpers did you go through?
One.
Did you wear the same jumper all day?
Same jumper, same socks, same shorts, same boots, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Embrace it.
Wow. I would have thought a halftime jumper change.
Do you know, it was probably the pregame that got me the most, because when we were out there, and then you've got like, 45, 50 minutes before the game, you're doing your own individual warm-up, you've got line meetings, got your team meeting. Mm. And I was sitting there in cold clothes inside. It was almost better running around outside, because you're wet, but at least you're warming up.
So Rocky was wearing cons, like the low-rise cons.
Yeah.
She had to take her shoes and socks off for the game.
What, to get through?
To try and let the shoes and socks dry.
You're kidding.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a really good reminder. My boots are still sitting in my bag. That's not fun.
Bowie.
Well, I've got a couple other pairs that I'm going to train in.
No doubt.
But they will drain before this weekend.
How many pairs of boots do you go through in a season?
I love this question because I love boots. I find I put more meaning to boots than other people do. I've tried to go with a different colour of boot for every Geelong season. So I'm trying not to re-wear a colour. So my first season was pink.
Yep.
Wrong. My first season was yellow.
Yep.
Second season was pink. Third season was green. And this season's been what colour? Yellow. Fluoro yellow.
When are you going to blue?
Well, this is what I'm saying. So I've got what? I've got a blue left. I've got orange. I've got red. I've got
black.
White. Oh, I wouldn't, Kingy.
Why?
Don't swear at me.
Why wouldn't you wear black boots?
Then I think they're out. They're out. They will come back in eventually. But like, I don't know. Unless I had a black boot with a black sock.
Yeah.
I don't love the look of a white sock and a black boot.
Do you have a boot sponsor?
No.
You don't have one.
Nike. Come at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a very much Nike gal.
You need a collab.
Yeah, me too. This is my plug for Nike. To answer your question, sorry, this has still been the same pair that I'll do pre-season in like one or two pairs.
Yep.
One probably rolling over from the season before, a new pair. Then I'll start the season with like a couple training sessions before round one to kind of wear them in. And then I've been in the same boot since. I clean them before every weekend, scrub them with a toothbrush.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's just a mental thing.
And then brush your teeth.
I'm like, didn't brush my teeth yet. It's like a Matt Rowell kind of like really get into the game. All the dirt from the grass just scrubbing in my teeth.
But barring, can I just talk about the captain's game last week? I thought it was very good.
Oh, wasn't it? And to come back off the season that she's gone through, and not only in her 75th game as well, like she doesn't know this yet, and I'm sure we'll do it this afternoon when we head into training. But she absolutely got my votes for our internal grit award. Yeah. What did I say? I wrote a couple of things, but then in quotations, I wrote a couple of moments that I looked and thought to myself, these are moments that only Meg could do. Yep. Like the spoil over the line, that with a 10-kilo ball, incredible. The intercept marking.
It's not only incredible, it's incredibly gutsy as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can get that so wrong.
Yeah. But she didn't. She nailed it.
Don't get enough peace on it. You're putting it down somebody's throat on the goal line to put it through.
And she was decently, five or so metres off the goal line still?
I would have thought top of the square.
Yeah. Again, executed to perfection, intercept marking, her body work, her read of the ball, her, I think, precision by foot as well was just like, I was looking at her being like, this is Meg Mack, and I'm so glad for her sake that she got to feel that, and we'll hopefully feel that again this weekend.
Miracles aside, you're not playing finals, unfortunately.
We believe, Kingy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I actually saw, I think 7AFL put out a post last night or the night before.
Didn't have you in it?
It did.
Oh, it did?
It did. But it's like, yes, miracles. The sky would have to turn purple, but it was like West Coast have to lose.
Yep.
Adelaide have to lose a lot.
Yep.
Port Adelaide have to lose. Adelaide have to lose. And we have to win.
Yep.
Against Melbourne, and convincingly.
Yeah. Do you need Essendon to beat Sydney as well?
I think so. There was four teams.
Yeah. You'll actually know by the time you play Saturday night.
Yes, 100%.
Yep. Which will either be a good thing where you go, well, hang on, we're just going hell for leather here because we need to win by...
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. Yeah. Or, well, we're just hoping to win a sixth game of the year.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, Kingy, as well, around that the freedom piece and the mentality of we do have a lot to lose here, but we have a chance to play finals. If that was the case, the freedom and the mindset going into a game that can come with that is not that was the case in terms of finals with on the weekend for us. But I really felt like we were able to, despite the conditions, just play with a lesser sense of fear. I feel like we've been playing conservative at times a lot of this season. And again, that's not going to win you games of footy anywhere, let alone at AFLW level. To come out on the weekend and just see a bit more of natural flair from our players. Again, like, there's only so much you can do in those kind of conditions, but I really hope we can bring that again this weekend. And, whether or not finals is a thing for us, I know it sounds almost impossible, but if it's not finals, that's going to carry us into next season in really good stead. So,
footy from 6:30 on Saturday night, carrickfootball.live AFL app. Let's talk a bit of Formula One.
Gee, I was about to bring this up with you before we came on air, and I asked if you watched it. Did you see it?
I'm fuming. All right, talk us through what happened and why you're fuming.
I need to go take a breath.
Right.
And then come back.
Right.
Okay, I've taken a breath. So, what happened? Well, this is from a Lewis Hamilton perspective. We currently have one of the biggest championship fights on the line, which, again, for any viewer, whether you're specific to a driver or you're just across the board into Formula One, so exciting. Going into the race, we had Oscar Piastri, P1 in the Drivers' Championship, followed by Lando Norris, followed by Max Verstappen. Qualifying, in terms of how that went, we really needed Oscar to continue his qualifying streak against Lando. That didn't happen. Lando qualified first. We had Oscar Piastri qualify in 8th. I think it was, and Max Verstappen 5th. So that in itself was massive in terms of the Drivers' Championship. If those results were to go through, pretty much Lando would have taken over Oscar in terms of the leaderboard, and Max would have got pretty close to Oscar as well. So in terms of the way the race played out, we had Lando win by 30-plus seconds, which was an absolute domination. I think it was the largest margin of the season. Wow. which is incredible by him. He actually was getting booed, which I don't know if I've spoke to you about this before, King. I'm just so off against booing. I can't stand it. Whether it's Max Verstappen or Lando Norris or...
booing is a waste of energy.
Oh, it just is. Like if... And they... Sorry, I will get back to the occurrence of the race on the weekend, but one of the commentators in the F1 said, like, she was speaking around the concept of booing, but if you feel a certain way about a certain driver, just don't applaud them.
Yep.
Like, it's less applause rather than going out of your way to, you know. And again, like, Lando has had his ups and downs, as has every driver, and I think, you know, people have their own perceptions of how Lando responds to certain events, but in the same sense, like, he's very much earned that race. He's earned where he is right now, and, you know, I appreciate the way that he confronts the media in response to this. Anyway, but then we had Oscar, who started P8. He dropped down initially, but ended up making his way to P5, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And Max Verstappen getting up to P2. So if Oscar, so this is where it gets tricky with the championship. If Oscar ended up P4, he would have still maintained the lead on Lando Norris by a point. But because he finished the race P5 and Lando won, Lando's now on top of the championship by 1 point.
Yep.
I don't know where that puts Max.
Third on 321.
Up? Yep, and Oscar is...
356.
Yeah.
Lando 357.
Yeah. So it's real tight, which again, like I mentioned, is so exciting for...
So it's only those three that can win it.
Yeah.
And probably hard for Verstappen with only three races to go.
Yeah, but it is Max Verstappen. I am not his biggest fan, but I have the utmost respect for him.
He can get to 396 points, so 25 for a win.
And McLaren would need to go pretty poorly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it'll come down to a drive-off between Lando and...
And Piastri, for sure.
And that's when you just...
There will be no papaya rules.
No.
I mean, they either take themselves out, but like you know, it'll be, what is it, Abu Dhabi? Is that
Brazil next?
Yeah. The last race, though?
Is Vegas and then Qatar. Yep.
Qatar, yeah. I haven't even touched on what happened with Lewis. It was his highest qualifying for the season. He qualified P3. Had Charles Leclerc qualifying in P2, so a very exciting day for Ferrari fans.
Yep.
But also... all the commentary from Ferrari fans on the post were like, I'm not getting my hopes up. Like, it's just been too common that we've had a glimpse of hope and things have not gone well. For Charles Leclerc fans, he ended up coming second, P2, which he started P2, finished P2.
Yep.
But, Kingy.
Yes.
The race starts. Lights out and away we go. Red lights have gone off. Lando starts off really well. Charles starts really well, but so does Lewis. Lewis comes up the inside of Charles Leclerc. I don't know. It ended up being four wide around turn one. This is the longest straight in any Grand Prix.
Oh, really?
So it was like it was...
They're hammering.
So cool. They're hammering down the straight coming to turn one. Anyway, amidst all the chaos, I was like, someone's going to get cleaned up here. Lewis ends up getting in front of... Charles gets pushed off the track, ends up driving off the track and driving back onto the track and gaining an advantage. So Lewis got ahead of, he was P2.
Yep.
Then we had, I'm sure everyone listening loves the F1. Then we had, Charles coming to overtake, but overtook illegally.
Yep.
Had to then give the position back to Lando Norris because he ended up in first, but was not ordered to give the position back to Lewis. So he illegally overtook Lewis as well. But so when they returned to track, it said, you must give the position back to Lando or you'll get a penalty, but nothing to do with Lewis. So anyway, that was annoying enough to start off
with
the
Lewis,
race.
So Lewis has been robbed.
Lewis got robbed. But then we had Max Verstappen on like lap two or three, try to absolutely dive bomb Lewis down a corner. And in the process of doing that, he went off the track, came back on, had to give the position back. Lewis went off the track, came back on, had to, I don't know whether or not he gave the position back. But throughout all of this, Lewis Hamilton got a 10-second penalty and no one else did. Charles Leclerc, no penalty. Max Verstappen, no penalty. Lewis Hamilton, 10 seconds. He ends up eighth.
Right.
Like, I just... What did he finish in? Where did he finish in the race? It was...
Lewis?
Yeah.
Finished.
It was pretty low down. Six, maybe?
Hang on. I did have that in front of me.
It was eighth.
Please hold caller. race report results. Here we go. He finished eighth.
Yeah. I just like, anyway, there's a whole uproar in terms of when and when not to give penalty and who doesn't receive them. But so I'm filthy. That's what breath was for, because robbed.
Right. And then we had the marshals on the track.
Yeah, in front of Liam Lawson. I don't know how that happened. Was that in the last couple laps?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. Liam only did 5 laps.
Oh.
Yeah.
Must have been at the start.
It was early
then.
In the race. Yeah, Liam only lasted five
but
laps.
So why was Liam going so slowly? It looked like he was... Anyway, it looked like he was going under a yellow flag.
Must have been a flag, because there was debris on the track.
Right. An early flag.
Yep.
Made him slow down. I've never seen anything like that close. Yeah. I don't know whether or not those marshals would be coming back, or whether it was their fault or not.
Yeah.
That's true as well. Like, you know. Yeah. Anyway, everyone survived other than myself. I have just... fuming. I went to sleep in my Ferrari t-shirt, woke up in my Ferrari t-shirt at 7 a.m., which is an awesome time to watch the F1, because usually it's at 3 a.m. over here time.
And because of the time difference at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when exactly.
Mexico sits.
Yeah. And I just, it's been so reoccurring. I love Ferrari. I love Lewis, but God, they've put me through it this season. Anyway, that's it for me in the F1.
What else is keeping you busy at the moment? Are you starting... Because of, unfortunately, that season's going to finish earlier than you had hoped, are you starting to prepare for what off-season looks like?
Yeah, I actually enjoy the way sometimes the boys, the AFL men, speak about this part as like the side quest season. Like, you know, whether or not that means different things to them than it does to me. But
are you karting?
Oh, I don't. Well, like I said to you, I sold my kart, so I...
Go and buy another one.
I will if you will.
A kart?
Yeah, well, you said you'd be my pit crew, actually.
Yeah. I'm not, no.
I'll meet you on the dirt bikes.
Poor go-kart taking my weight. Not happening.
Don't say yourself short, Kingy. So probably not karting.
What will you do?
I think I'm going to, this is my plan. I'm going to take, 2 weeks of just like enjoy it.
Yep.
Soak it up with the girls. I don't know what's going to happen after the season in terms of list management, who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. That's always a big...
You're contracted?
I am contracted for another year.
Yep.
This is the third year of my contract.
Yeah. Because you signed an original one and then you...
Signed an original, then signed another 3 years.
Yeah.
And then...
You might have sold yourself short based on how you played this year. I'd be renegotiating. Happy to help. But I want a cart.
I want a cart, and I don't want to have to pay for my membership at the Geelong Karting Club too. And I want you to be okay with it. I want you to be okay with me karting. I think they actually would be. I think that kind of stuff is all dependent on the individual. You put yourself at the risk if you get injured. I just, you know, that's probably where I sit here and I'm like, I do so much. I do so much to try and give to footy, and if anything were to ever happen. But I'm wanting to give myself... 2 or so weeks just to really soak up what the season was, which, again, has its positives, has its negatives. I'm sure there will be a lot of change on the off-season, and I just think this is the time of year that you can't take things for granted. I think you can get to a point, especially in our position, where you don't make finals, and we had a really powerful conversation out in the Oval last week or the week before, and just said to each other, like, it kind of felt like we were just like, this is it, we're done for the year. Yeah. Like, now it's just a drag. We just spoke to each other around the concept of not wishing it away, because, you know, we've spoken about it before, Kingy, the length of the in-season is just incomparable to the length of the off-season, and you get to a point in the off-season where you're craving this kind of connection, you're craving this routine, you're craving, to feel as fit as you currently do, and... Just to be around a group of girls that you consider family, really. So, we'll be soaking that up over the next couple of weeks post-season. I'm really wanting... This is so rogue of me. Have you picked up that I'm a little bit, like, spontaneous rogue?
No, hadn't at all. No, didn't.
Like, I want to go work on a farm.
Really?
I think I'm feeling like I want to go and give myself a month of, like, head down, bum up, just get some savings.
Yep.
Go work on a farm. Like, just, I don't have any farm experience, so you can't ask me where this comes from. Or just like go work on a vineyard or something, and just pick grapes.
Go to Mildura.
I wouldn't even know what it's look. I don't even know what that is. Where is that?
Mildura,
yeah.
Northwest of Victoria. It's on the Murray.
Yeah, right.
A big grape growing region.
Do you think I could sort something out?
You could.
Yeah. Well,
I can make some calls.
Yeah, if anyone... Well, there you go. I needed a contact and you can be my contact. Anyway, I'll figure something out.
My cousin's cousin
Mm-hmm.
Well, they used to be on land up there. I don't know whether they might not be.
Yeah, well, and it's whether or not they want help. Shelley Scott has...
I hope you get down the milk some cows.
Yeah, she's on a mat. Like, she's just so busy. And I remember having the conversation with her last season because I had this in mind last season. I didn't end up doing that. I ended up going home to Mum's in Bridgetown and helping her renovate the house. But, yeah, Scotty was like, oh, you can help me, but I'm not paying you. Like, oh, I'd appreciate your hands, but like, so yeah, regardless, I'd love to go see Scotty's farm one day, but that's, yeah, I'm probably looking forward to just, yeah, getting my hands dirty a bit in that space. And then, it'll just be like, I don't know. There's a big picture for me in terms of what, after footy looks like as well in terms of off-field career. I don't know whether or not I've spoken on here much around the interest in genuine mechanical apprenticeship, and I've got some really important...
You touched on it very early.
Yeah, some really cool conversations going on in the background as to what that could look like. It's just more, at times, a decision as to whether or not it's the time now, what, 24, to potentially engage in something that pulls me too far away from footy too soon. Like, regardless of a part-time apprenticeship in the mechanical world, I think is pretty rare as is.
You need to be...
You'd need to be pretty full on, and also then me being part time isn't enough for whoever I'm working with. But also then that's probably still too much for me. Like, when we're training Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, playing Saturdays, like, I don't really have the flexibility, that time to you know, really invest in something like that. It's definitely something I'd love to do, but it's probably just not where I'm at in my career at the moment. Maybe I could help someone on a more casual basis, but. You look like you're about to say something.
I was going to ask you, do you expect by the end of your career that you'll be playing a 18-game season? So say Tassie come in.
Yes.
Or Tassie will come in.
Yes.
Do you expect that when you're hanging up the boots, you will have played a season, at least one, where everybody plays each other?
Well, it depends heavily on when that is, I think, as well. Like, if I'm to, I don't know what, I said 24 now. I don't know. 30s if I'm lucky. I don't know what that looks like in terms of how long I've got left in the system, but I definitely think a time will come where we have. I don't think you can get it. I currently sometimes am. I understand why, but it's frustrating still as a player as to how we're getting away with not versing every team once. Again, I completely understand there's so many logistical reasons and all sorts behind that.
And you won't next year because they've announced it will only be a 12 round season again next year.
Yes, okay. Yeah, but so the. The current CBA that we've signed is up until 2026.
So it's next year.
Yep. So I would assume as well, and I'd hope very much so. I know there's a lot of really powerful voices that are coming together to push for some really important change from 2026 onwards in the new CBA. I really enjoy working with the AFLPA for the most part of them being able to really, strip it back and hear our voices and try and push that towards the AFL and back and forth. It's a really interesting process as to how that communication happens.
Who's your rep at the club?
Brandon.
Right.
Brandon.
All right, so but you don't have a player rep?
Sorry, we do. Becky and AMAC.
Yeah.
Player reps we do. Delegates, I think they call them.
Yes.
Which, yeah, again, those two are... some of the best at just saying what they think, which I think is so important.
Do you have a fine system for media appearances and stuff like that?
We did. We don't anymore.
No, I was going to say, because Becky would be getting fined. Because didn't she do a spot on the TV at the basketball on Saturday?
Oh, she did
too. Did I see you sitting in a corporate suite on
Saturday? It was great. It was Geelong Venom. It was awesome. That was actually Becky's organisation too. She got 8 of us down into a box. We got a little... There's a little esky full of soft drinks and waters and juices, and then we got a little package worth of little meatballs and all sorts. But
so
just
you know
such a cool experience.
So you know those packages.
Mm.
So my wife works for the Venom.
You're kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right.
So we have a connection.
So when there's leftovers,
they
come home. So I was eating those little meatballs and all the little sandwiches and sliders.
The little meatballs with the little like white sauce on it. Did you have them on the weekend?
Oh, I had. Yeah, they came home Saturday night. That was dinner.
There was that. There was the breadsticks. There was cheese. There was salami.
There was the dried
sausages,
apricots.
The quiches.
Yeah, I'm not a quiche fan.
Oh well, there probably wouldn't have been any left because I'm a quiche fan. I ate them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they were really good. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah. No, so did you have a good day at the Venom?
I did. It was awesome. They just put a post up yesterday.
That's how I knew you were there. Yeah,
game recognised game. It was really cool. I think as well, not only just the gratitude piece for the opportunity to be there and, you know, get around the girls. It was an awesome game, one that I think for us watching off the back of the season that we've had, like they started the game off against Adelaide Lightning. The Adelaide started off really well. They were on top of them for the first quarter and a bit. They came back, responded, like ended up putting, I think it was a 32-13 second quarter.
Yep.
And ended up just, you know, dominating the rest of the game. And that, I think, for us was really motivating and inspiring to watch that mindset and how they continued to operate with their consistency and throughout the game. But also, I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of all of us just sitting there to really immerse yourselves within a different sporting environment. Yep. Like, we're lucky enough, like you mentioned, to be sitting courtside in a box there, and I'm not quite sure what the head coach's name is.
Chris Lucas,
all the girls huddled around him, and like just the mindset. I think one of the bench players, who I don't want to call them bench players, but the ones that I think they had three rookies there.
Yep.
The ones that only get limited minutes, the ones that are starting five, like it doesn't matter who you are in terms of that team as a collective, but like all of them were just so locked in. They were so bought into, what's his name?
Chris Lucas.
They were so locked into Chris. I'm sorry, Chris. So locked into him and what he had to say. And at times he was going hard on him, Kingy. Like he was.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't hold back. It was a really cool. We were seeing everything. We were seeing Chris Lucas. We were seeing Chris draw up plays. We were watching him be really direct with players, encouraging with others. Just regardless of what he was feeding to them, they were all so responsive. Even the things the small little things that matter on a bench, like every time a player would come off, the entire bench would stand up and that player would go and high-five everyone, like all the staff, all the players. It just creates such a cool environment. I think that's, if anything, that's something I think we can take into what we're doing at Geelong as well, is making the bench a better environment.
Can I ask you something?
Please.
If you go home to WA...
Mm.
Will you drive?
I'd love to. Not currently, but I'd love to. I don't think the green machine will be suffice to get me right there and back. And I think, actually, that's wrong. I think it would. I just think I'd lose it. I think it would die.
Right.
So then I'd be driving my
car
into the ground.
How many Ks on the clock for the green machine?
I've just clocked over like 210,000.
Okay.
Is that a lot?
No. You're still running it in.
Yeah.
I know what you drive.
How much do you reckon I'd get?
Oh, I reckon you get 350 out of it.
Wow.
If you look after it. If you're getting it serviced
every
10,000 Ks,
yep,
looking after it,
yep,
you'll get to 350.
But so how many Ks there and back to Perth?
Hang on. Well, I was just thinking, if you decided to drive the Nullarbor...
You'll come.
I'll come with you.
We could do a potty.
Yeah.
For the whole, for the whole way.
We could.
Across the Nullarbor with Bowie and Kingy.
I'm flying home after I've gone and visited my sister, who I haven't seen I haven't seen in Perth for nearly 7 years.
Wow.
She was home a couple of years, maybe 2.5 years ago. Hang on. All right. So let's go.
Let's work this out.
Let's go. GMHBA Stadium.
Yeah. To
Perth. Or do we want to go to
Perth? Perth.
Do you want to go to Mum?
No, go Perth.
Perth?
Yeah. Sorry, Mum, but I'll come down there after we get to Perth.
Hang on. To Perth.
Can you imagine that? The whole back of the tray just stocked up full of them.
36 hours.
Oh.
3,398.9 kilometres.
3,000?
398.
Why am I getting that wrong? Why doesn't that sound like... So my car could get back there and back easy if you reckon it will blow up at 350.
Oh, yeah, comfortably.
So... Let's do it.
Via National Highway 1.
36 hours straight.
36 hours. Yeah, we're not going 36 hours straight. We're going to have to stop somewhere.
What's that? A day?
Would you let me drive
it? A full day. Yeah, absolutely.
Is it automatic?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is auto. Chuck it in sports mode. We'd get there all right. That'd be cool. You've actually sparked a bit of inspo. Maybe I could consider. Well... I'd have to take my little Bobby with me as well.
We could start like an Instagram.
Yeah. Across the Nullarbor with
Bowie
and Kingy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The adventures of Bowie and King.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, cool. Oh, God.
We need to workshop this.
Yes, we do.
How funny would it be if we actually legitimately
did it? It'd be very, very cool. I think we'd get a bit of uptake too.
I'm legitimately flying home.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd get to Adelaide in a day.
Yep.
Because that's
8 hours.
That's 8 hours.
Yeah.
You'd probably try and do it in a week.
Yeah.
And do stuff on the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could stop off at places, yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to go to Coffin Bay because they do unbelievable oysters.
Where's that?
That is near Port Lincoln, but you're going down and coming back up, so you don't want to do that.
We can both order oysters and you can have mine.
You don't like that?
Oh, I can't stand it. You can have mine.
How old's my daughter? 10. Yeah. My 10-year-old loves them.
Does she?
Yep.
That's like my brother. My brother's always eaten that kind of stuff, but like from a young age.
Bowie.
I'm missing out, I know.
We could have... Oh, wow.
I wish everyone could see Kingy's face right now. You're genuine.
Yeah. I'd love to do it.
Well.
The content we could do...
would be very cool.
Yep. We could plan this out.
Okay.
Right.
Let's take this off the line.
Yes. Between now and our next show...
Think about it.
I'll have a chat to my wife and say, look, is it okay if I go across the country with Bowie? I'm sure she won't have a problem with it.
I'd love to have like a big Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
That could be cool.
We could play Drake. Now, I did a little bit more Drake listening.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I'm concerned about a bloke who has a song named after a phone.
Which one are you talking
about? Nokia.
Oh, yeah. Is it Stacey? Is it Beck? Yeah. Is it Keisha? Yeah. Yes. I love that song. That's great.
I had that on at the gym.
Have you been vibing? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, do you listen to the lyrics?
Yeah, because I actually, on Spotify, you can look at what the lyrics are to see what he's actually going to say.
You're mid-rep, mid-set. Yeah. Is it Stacey? Yeah. Is it Ashley?
Very cool. So I had a little listen to that.
Well, great. We can combine a playlist then.
Right.
How long? 36 hours long.
36. I could take you through the Pearl Jam back catalogue.
Here we go.
We could have a lot of fun with that. Have you ever done anything really out of your comfort zone?
In terms of to do with anything. Mum or just...
No, life. I suspect coming to the other side of the country to play footies.
Yeah, definitely. I found comfort in that because I think of my perception on my football career and being like, I know this is going to be uncomfortable, but I have to do it.
Yep.
And in doing so, I've found so much comfort in it in terms of my friends, the football club, you, all these opportunities that have just come about that like you feel so right. And if I didn't do this, then... I just wouldn't have any of this opportunity, which is, you know, probably made me reflect a bit on the fact that off the back of discomfort becomes, you know, what I'm currently living, which is, a very blessed life. I feel very grateful. I'd probably find more so Kingy discomfort and pushing myself to do that in the day-to-day little things because, yeah, I don't know. I have to challenge myself often. I find I'm a bit of a comfort. I do love, I don't really love change. I do like to push myself, but I like to know my routines. I like to know, and like I mentioned, push myself in the smaller ways. So, if I were to really, really do something, gigantic, I'd have to give it some thought. I don't think there's anything on my mind. Right. What about you?
It's tonight.
Oh.
And I'm shitting myself.
We spoke about this. Yeah. You've got to tell everyone. Oh. Please. Oh. Drum roll, please. Go on, Kingy.
I've always wanted to learn how to play the drums.
I love it so much. And I think that's so cool.
I'm going to have my first lesson tonight to find out whether I have any aptitude at all to do it.
And so out of 10, how far out of your comfort zone would this be?
This is 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
In terms, what specifically? The idea of failing it, the idea of being one-on-one with someone?
The one-on-one's fine.
Yeah.
No, yes.
The failing.
The wanting to
the
do
fear
something.
Fear of, yeah.
But not being able to do it.
Yeah. And isn't that so funny because you'll never know if you don't try.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
Thank you. We
need some video content or something. Maybe after lesson three.
Yeah, maybe after I've actually can keep time or something like that.
Yeah.
No, I just turned to my wife on the couch 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Said, I'm going to try and find a drum coach.
Yeah, I'm going to do this for me.
So I'm going to go and work with a guy and see where it takes me.
I'm so happy for you. Are you a car drummer?
Yes, I'm a horrible car drummer.
So you've got some evidence behind the fact that you could pull this off.
Yeah, but is car drumming sort of, you know...
I reckon you'll be good.
Waving your hands around. I don't even know how to hold a drumstick properly.
Yeah, light like a feather, like
yes,
a pencil.
Not like my golf club. Not like my golf club that I...
Gripped.
Yeah, like I'm about to belt somebody with it.
That's so cool.
Yes. Anyway, sorry for taking... We've got to go because you've got to go.
You do have to go. I have to get to training, King. We've got one more game this weekend.
Good luck.
Thank you. The Cat Attack Podcast.
Kurz Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.